Today we welcome and are looking forward to a presentation by a Christian business mission of Huron. Now, some might question whether the words Christian and business go together. Is the expression Christian business an oxymoron? After all, isn't business about making a profit? And doesn't Christianity label greed a sin? Can a person call themselves a true Christian and still run a profitable business? I hope so. Jesus taught the golden rule, do to others what you would have them do to you. But in contrast, Charles Dickens wrote, do other men for they would do you. That's the true business precept. Hope business has improved somewhat since Charles Dickens' time. Associated with business is the shady concept of the traveling salesman, someone who's out to twist your arm into buying something you don't really need or that turns out to not be as good a deal as it first seemed. On the scale of trustworthiness, most people would rank them down near the bottom along with lawyers and politicians. Even at the corporate level, companies can be guilty of pretending to give good advice when really they don't. Charles Swindoll writes, I heard about a man who took a dinner flight. After the stewardess had served him his meal, he unwrapped the salad and noticed right on top a rather large roach. Infuriated, enraged, he couldn't wait to get home and write the president of the airline a letter, hot and to the point. In a matter of a very few days, he received a special delivery letter in return, an answer signed by the president himself, typed beautifully on the letterhead of the airline. It was dripping with apologies. I've taken immediate action, it said. In fact, I've temporarily pulled that airplane off the line. We have stripped the seats. We have stripped the upholstery. It will not go back online until everything is in ship-shape condition. You have my word. The flight attendant who served you that meal, well, her job is in jeopardy. As a matter of fact, I promise you that will never occur again. Please continue to fly on our airline. Well, the man was remarkably impressed. However, he noticed something unusual. Quite by accident, the president's secretary had somehow inadvertently allowed his original letter to be stuck to the back of this letter. As he turned it over, a note at the bottom said, send this guy the standard roach letter. Despite the anecdotes about salesmen and shady corporate dealings, it is a fact that there have been many businesses effectively run by Christians throughout history. More and more companies are wising up to the reality that only good ethics can provide a sound foundation for any enterprise. Jesus calls people from all walks of life to follow him, including salesmen, executives, and entrepreneurs. In today's passage, we even find several parallels between business and how the church is to present the gospel. In Paul's mind, when it comes to evangelism, Christians are to be reputable agents of the best deal going. Good news about Jesus, or as Paul refers to it here, the ministry of reconciliation, is the most wonderful offer people can avail themselves of. 5:20, God is making his appeal, calling upon or paracleting us with an offer too good to refuse. It's an appeal to us to receive what 6:1 terms God's grace, or as New Living Translation puts it, this marvelous gift of God's kindness. The heart of the offer is the prospect of being reconciled to God, put right with God, having our accounts squared up. Here you should know a thing or two about that. You're an accountant by trade. As sinners, we are miserable debtors with no hope of ever settling the debt that we owe to our perfectly holy Creator. We have fallen far short of God's glory. But at the cross, God accomplished something unthinkable, a swap of the Son of God's infinite holiness our guilt. 5:21 boils it down for us. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See the exchange at the heart of the deal? Christ's righteousness for our sin. He paid that debt for you. When shopping, I love deals with big discounts. Yeah, I got a Scottish background. What do you expect? The gospel is the biggest discount deal going. Read about it in 5:19. It says, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Not counting our sins. What a marvelous discount. Something we could never afford in 1,000 lifetimes of good works. That is the economy of the gospel. Seems too good to be true, but God bought your salvation because he loved you so much and wanted you near him for eternity, not burning in hell or weeping and gnashing our teeth in outer darkness, which our fallenness warranted. So how is he going to get the word out? Now, here's something amazing when you think about it. God could have sent angels flying with banners across the sky or writing it in big bold letters on the clouds. He could have stamped the offer on every snowflake or printed it on the leaves of every tree. But no, he had another plan. Are you familiar with the network marketing concept? Probably somebody starts talking about that to you, you start backing off. Probably the most famous example is Amway, but hundreds of products are sold through networks. Yvonne used to sell Watkins, which made good quality kitchen and household items. Others sell Avon or Epicure or Tupperware and so on. You could probably name half a dozen. The genius behind the network marketing concept is that each new seller can introduce the product to their own particular circle of contacts, their neighborhood and friends. And so the influence diffuses throughout society on a person-to-person basis. Well, guess how God has ordained for the gospel to be shared? Through a networking approach. 5:18. God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. 5:19. God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For ambassadors, Paul uses a term that was universally recognized for the imperial legate in his day, the Roman emperor's officially authorized representative. And there are a couple more hints of delegated networking in chapter 6, verse 1, as God's co-workers. Verse 4, as servants of God. When Jesus commanded, go therefore and make disciples, he was authorizing you to be his agent in presenting the wonderful offer of God's grace to your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers. That's his marketing plan. Note briefly some other aspects of this spiel or good spell, gospel, the appeal God primes us to present. It is intense. We talk about high-pressure salesmen. Paul's not high-pressure in the sense of coercive, but he sure is intense. Not desperate, but serious. Look at the verbs. 5:20, we implore you, New Living Translation, we plead. 6:1, we urge you, New Living, we beg you. Sense the intensity. This is really important to him. Is that true for us? Do we pray with sincere yearning for our contacts who are lost so when we're sharing about Jesus with them, they sense how important this is, the gravity of what's at stake? Can we let go of our nice veneer Canadian respectability to the point of imploring and pleading, even begging? You may be their last chance to hear God's offer this side of eternity. The offer is urgent. The verb tense in 5:20 is get reconciled to God. 6:2 puts more stress on the time element, for he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. In the Greek, Paul prefaces now each time with behold, accentuating it, trying to get our attention. Look, focus your attention before it's too late. I dislike few things more than aggressive sales approaches where someone phones you up with what seems like a really great offer, like a free cruise, but you got to decide right then and there. The time limitation almost makes me sweat. I'd much rather have time to think and pray about it, research it, and call them back. In the case of the gospel, much more is at stake than just a two-day cruise. We're talking about where you'll spend eternity. God is gracious. He's not about to slam down the receiver in the next 5 minutes. Yet, you don't have forever to decide. It is a limited time offer. Each week, the paper's obits page carries names of those for whom the window of opportunity is closed. The offer is intense. It is urgent. And it is overcoming. The motto in business is, build a better mousetrap and the world will what? Nobody heard that? Beat a path where? To your door. Yes, thank you, Harvey. Tell somebody's been in business. Why? Everybody gets mice from time to time. The saying would not be true if mice weren't so prevalent. In the case of the gospel, we're not talking about mice, but problems. Everybody has problems. Life is not fair. Life is tough. Even Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount observed, each day has enough trouble of its own. So the takeoff of the mousetrap motto when it comes to evangelism is, show someone how Jesus can help them deal with life's problems, and you'll have their attention. In 6:4-10, Paul talks about how the gospel helps him overcome problems in a general way and in particulars. Verse 4 lists the general principle. It's the verse we had with the kids. As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses. The Greek terms translated here can reflect pressures, afflictions, tight spots, or narrow places. Talk to most people long enough and you'll become aware of pressures or concerns, anxieties or regrets that they're dealing with. Such a simple thing as offering to pray for the particular hardship or stress they're facing can be a non-threatening way to open a door in a spiritual direction. Verses 5 and 8 to 10, Paul goes on to list over a dozen other particular types of trouble or stress he's faced personally, problems which Christ's grace has helped him overcome. Beatings, imprisonments, at least four that we know of, Philippi, Jerusalem, Caesarea, and Rome. Riots, hard work, sleepless nights, hunger, dishonor, bad report, being regarded as impostors or unknown, dying, beaten, sorrowful, poor, having nothing. Compared to that list, suddenly your problems don't seem so big, do they? Yet Paul maintains that even in such severe troubles as these, Jesus has made all the difference, helping him cope and be able to keep going. If you're like me, you're a sucker for free samples at the grocery store. Samples give you a chance for a taste test to try before you buy. Or maybe you've seen at a department store where some migrant salesman is giving a demonstration of the latest handy-dandy kitchen slicer-dicer gadget. Such demonstrations are fun to watch, partly because we know how tedious cutting up vegetables with just a knife can be. It's much more appealing to see a product in action rather than just sitting in a box. Verses 3 and 4 of chapter 6, Paul emphasizes that the apostles' lives demonstrate the trustworthiness of God's special offer of the gospel. It's proven in their experience. No shady traveling salesman tricksterism here, he explains. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. They're being careful that their ministry not have any blame or fault attributed to it. Instead, they want it to be commendable, proven, established. How does this happen? In every way. All the situations just mentioned, how they live their everyday life in the face of all those problems. Christ's overcoming is the proof. Verse 6 especially, there's some aspects of regenerate living that show through despite circumstances. Impurity, understanding, patience and kindness, and the Holy Spirit and sincere love. That kind of person attracts you. They've got something special. When people see you encountering problems, they'll be watching closely to see if being a Christian makes any difference. You're the proof of the pudding. Your purity, patience, kindness, and sincere love supplied by the Holy Spirit become a convincing case of God's grace and favor. Whatever your occupation, as a Christian, this is your ministry. You are Exhibit A. In closing, we welcome Harry Denhan of Christian Business Mission of Huron to outline how their group is seeking to put feet to their faith and reach our local area as Christ's ambassadors in tangible ways. Just a few words of introduction for Harry. He has a business here in tax consultants in Seaforth. He attends Vinastra CRC. He's been in Huron since 1981. His wife and four children and five grandchildren, and his 94-year-old mother lives with them as well. And his hobby is helping others through things like the Surf Project and just meeting people. So please welcome Harry this morning.
Have to bear with me a little bit. This is kind of a stepping out of my comfort zone. I had to step out of my comfort zone roughly about 12, 13 months ago where, I don't know how to put it. I mean, the gray hair and the loss of hair and the white, God didn't talk to me. I didn't see a burning bush or anything like that. He put it on my heart. He said, Harry, there's businesses in Huron that are like-minded, and they're not all necessarily Christian Reformed. There are actually other churches that have the right idea, too. We all have interdenominational values and strengths and traditions that we like to follow, but where the dime stops with CBMH and the people that are attending it is that Christ is the everlasting Son of God. He died and purchased our lives for his life. And that's it. And we're not going to go any further to where the commas or the capitals or where the sentence structure goes with it all. And we we've taken on a model that basically is talked in John 20, where Christ appears to his disciples, and he says, "Again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And he breathed on them, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." If you forgive anyone's sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. CBMH, and PowerPoint is a new thing for me too. We're a group of businesses. My name's on the first only because it happened to be there right at the start. No other purpose. We've made partnerships with different churches and organizations as we've gone through. We're working with the Huron County Food Bank Distribution Center at this point in time to assist them in their goals. Huron County Food Bank Distribution Center is the central location to where large amounts, tractor-trailer amounts of foods are brought in, and then it's further distributed amongst the other 13 food banks that are within Huron County. You can see the list of people that we are working with, Nancy Butter, who is running Soup and More, which is a food kitchen that started off as a result of the Salvation Army fire in Clinton. Deb has joined us. There's a number of people who have joined us, both business operators and non-business operators are in our organization. We're not trying to create another church. We're not trying to create another place to donate. We're trying to be facilitators to make things happen within Huron County. God has charged us to go out there and actually do something, not talk about it all of the time. And he's charged us to do it with the weak and the meek and the people that can't afford to do so on their own. I appreciate the partnerships that we've started so far. We're working with the food bank. We're working with both soup kitchens in Brussels and in Huron. Community Webline has taken us on to give us ad space, and if you'd like to, you can look us up on the internet through Community Webline. And the Steve Green concert, that's going to be kind of the tail end of this discussion to let you know where you can help us or where you can be a part of it. Our purpose is actually to share our businesses within the marketplace. Christianity isn't a Sunday thing. Christianity is a Sunday through Saturday thing. It works every day. And we need to display that in the marketplace. We can't just go to our individual churches and say we're going to celebrate God's gospel and we're going to talk about God's wonderful gifts just for that hour and a half, and after we go home, that's all over. That's something we got to change. It has to be on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday as well. And it has to be with our employees, and it has to be with the people that we do business with and the people that sell things to us. We have to do that from a Christian atmosphere, from a Christian faith and a Christian belief, trusting that, in fact, my business, although I took over my business originally from my father back, who started in the 60s, I started with about 175 clients, and currently we're up at around the 500 or 600. I've kind of lost count. It's just a mound of paperwork that continues to flow and more paperwork coming in, and everybody has their little issues. And it's changing. It's coming to the point where everybody is either new to the faith, hasn't started into the faith. They're seasoned in the faith. I probably am somewhere near the bottom of that. I was born in a Christian Reformed background. I attended a Christian Reformed church. I did all the things that Christian Reformed people do or Christian people do. But my faith really took a real turn about a year and a half ago when I had this feeling in my heart that, you know what, there's other people like me that want to share that kind of thing. in my business, I am a trustee. I don't own it. I don't own the assets that I have. I don't own the people that I do business with. I don't own the computers and the calculators. They're all God's. He's entrusted me to take those assets and use it to the best of my ability and to share it back with my community. And that's what CBMH is all about. And with that, we started to put our faith into action. Rather than talk about it, rather than sit back and come up with ideas and never develop those ideas. And we realized that there's other organizations that are out there that don't have the ability to be able to throw it all together, and that's what we're there to do. We're facilitators to take those kind of ideas and move with them and make something out of them that are going to glorify God, that are going to help the meek and the poor and the financially distraught. The people that are girding with their faith that are uncomfortable. This past year has been difficult for me. I've lost family. I've lost friends. I've seen people with cancer pass, by the way. And you wonder, God, wow, you know, you're so powerful and you're so awesome. Why? And what I've discovered is that being a Christian isn't necessarily an exemption, a get-out-of-jail-free card or go directly to go and collect all up your cash. And it's none of that. It's you're going to have troubles and you're going to have trials and you're going to have frustrations, but I'm going to give you the strength and the power and the wisdom, and I'm going to stand beside you all of the way through. Even when you doubt me, I'm going to stand beside you all of the way through and carry you through your burden. We're a body of believers that showing the entrepreneurial spirit, and Deb corrected me today. I guess there's no entrepreneurial spirit in the Bible. Maybe we're not referring to a biblical character per se. We're actually saying that businesses have a different way of operating. Businesses are not necessarily 9 to 5. Their operators are up until 10, 11 o'clock at night trying to figure out what's going to happen in the next day and keep their staff motivated and going. And it's trying to take that spirit in and the resources that all of the businesses in the area have and put them together and bring them into something dynamic that's for the better of this community and by the will of God. And it's often through his direction that we seek our guidance and leadership from. This past year, you can imagine, I, in my personal life, and I share that with your pastor, again, I was raised as a traditional Dutch Christian Reformed boy that was going to marry the little blonde-haired girl with blue eyes and was going to be from my Dutch background and knew how to make croquettes and nussie and all those wonderful things that we used to eat. And actually, I did marry that girl off the cuff. God's got a little bit of a sense of humor. I've never struggled with other religions or other faiths or anything like that personally. Like, I've never felt that anybody was on the wrong track or right track. In my family, he's brought in in-laws. And in-laws, for somebody at my age, that's... You worry about your kids, and so my first in-law was a Jehovah's Witness fellow from Australia, which is far displaced, and my daughter was going to go down there and have two grandchildren with us, this man, and has. And I sat there, and in the first 4 days of that having happened, I was terrified. I thought, oh no, my daughter's going to knock on doors. Oh no, she's worried about whether it's a stake or if it's a cross. Oh no, they can't have birthday parties. Wow, there's all these things. Oh, no. You know what? I give credit to some of them in terms of how they operate because they're willing to go on doors, they're willing to knock, and they're willing to have the doors shut on their faces. They're willing to go out and demonstrate in their hearts and in their love a story. The story might be a little bit twisted, and some of the words might be in the wrong place. But at the end of the day, if they can accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that He is the everlasting, eternal Son of God, and through Him, He's purchased our sins and gives us an opportunity to enter those gates of heaven, that's okay with me. I have to accept other faiths and other beliefs, and I have to trust them with my heart and love. If I do it with anger and frustration, I'm only going to make them depart and walk away. I can't do that. So then the second kick at the catch, we ended up with a beautiful daughter-in-law and a grandson and a granddaughter that is Catholic. There again, you know, a friend of mine had asked me, what's the difference between Christian Reformed and Catholic? And I just kind of chuckled and I said, well, I think it's all about the intercessor thing. I think it has to do with we've got direct dial and you need to have somebody put you through. Aside from that, now we're pretty close. you know. And then he threw in a Zimbabwean, a gentleman, lots of ethnic background. He was a refugee out of Zimbabwe, and he's Pentecostal. And okay, well, you know what, Lord? Like, yeah, you're teaching me a lesson. Through that lesson, I've learned that faith is important, trust in God is important, and religion means nothing. Religion is something that's inside a box and off to the side, and it means absolutely nothing. It's about your personal walk with God. And so our effort in this last year is trying to build community, trying to build fellowship, trying to build growth. And through that, we worship God in our own little ways, and we pray, and we talk about things that are internal, and we try to serve Him in the ways that He would request us to do so, whether it's helping the food bank, bringing Steve Green, who is a magnificent artist, into Huron County with all of those proceeds, going to help Huron County food banks. We're being challenged with more and more and more as we go, and every time it's you know, you wonder whether or not you can take on that task, but it's an answer to a call, and people always step up. They always do. I'm trying to be the hands and feet of Christ. God says, I want to give you your inheritance. This my little spin off of this thing is you know, and again, I'm a tax guy, so you got to figure out that end a little bit, right? I just went through the whole RRSP season, and this is how much you don't have to give Caesar if you put that and that kind of thing. And we got TFSAs, and we got... My topic is more so the spiritual RRSP. Right now, when you have that energy and that ability to be able to move forward, it's the time and initiative that you need to put into that spiritual RRSP, because at some point in time, you're going to need to make a draw. It's... God's beside you all the way, and He's going to carry you, but you need fellowship. You need people to help you make that draw. And so the only way to have an RSP in place is to start stockpiling it, start putting it there. And fortunately, in this past year, like I said, I've lost some loved ones. I've seen some people disappear out of my lives that I wonder why. And I wonder, you know, sometimes you can pray about it, and that just seems not to be enough all of the time. Sometimes you have to pray about it, and sometimes you need a shoulder to cry on, and sometimes you need to have somebody that's going to lift you up and take you along that road. And so by building that spiritual RRSP, by entrusting your heart into others, and by helping them through their trials and tribulations that are going through, you can imagine those people are always more than willing to pick you up when you've fallen. And it's something that's tangible and you can see. So that's what that's all about. With respect to the food bank, and the bottom line, it says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. It's a shock. You know, when CBMH started, I brought in a speaker from World Vision, who had worked in 52 different countries with all the terrible things that are happening in there. We also brought in a speaker from the international office of CBMH, which works in several other countries as well, and we see all the things that are happening there. In Canada, there's 867,948 people that are starving, that are using food banks on a regular basis. And if I went through all of the stats, you'd be appalled, because here in Huron County, a mere population of, I think it's 59,000 somewhere, 61,000. There's 1,200 people that use a food bank on a weekly basis. Of those percentages, there's 38% of those people that are under the age of 18. And at least 28% that have households that we haven't talked about that also have children in the breadbasket of Huron County. This last year, the food bank has done, it's been continuously growing. It's been providing food, it's been providing water and drink, it's been providing things to children with toys and Christmas gifts and things like that as well. They go outside of their scope and well beyond. It's. We went through in Huron County alone close to 280,000 pounds of food out of the central distribution center. That doesn't include the local food banks that you've donated to or been part of. The distribution center takes in the larger tractor trailer loads of things and distributes them amongst the 13 food banks within Huron County. God talks about, or Christ talks about, you know, I was a stranger and you invited me in. everything we're doing is with the concept that even the smallest thing, even the smile that you offer the lady at the checkout stand that says, "I'll be with you today. I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. I love you." It doesn't have to be a whole sentence. It can be just a walk down the street where somebody's walking up and kind of glum and off the side, and you smile at them and you say, "You know what? Today's a good day." Just something that's going to change them. It might not be that earth-shaking, phenomenal thing that looks like a miracle, but it is. It is a miracle. You're touching somebody's heart. They're knowing that, you know what, the world isn't that terrible of a place after all. We were talking about the food bank and the need clothes and you clothes me. When the Salvation Army came together, so did Nancy Butter. And Nancy Butter started the soup kitchen on the basis of helping the people that were taking care of the fire and the flames that were down in Clinton that day. If you hear Nancy's story, it'll touch your heart. It'll touch it closely because it went from something that she was trying to do for a day to something that's done on a weekly basis. CDMH has entered into a partnership with them where we try to provide them not just supplies, but also our time to sit down with people and share God's word. And you're all welcome to come anytime. Nancy would more than welcome anybody to sit down and share with these people. I was sick and you look after me. That's a hard one for me this week. I have some friends that are sick. And my business has brought me to a point where my hours are dedicated to business, and I don't think I'm pulling that weight well enough today. And so the best that I can do for them in this time, in my business busy time, is I can pray for them. And I pray for them when I'm on the road, when I'm driving, and I pray for them when I'm going to bed at night, and I pray for them on Monday and Tuesday and Saturday and Sunday, and I pray for them at 2 o'clock in the morning when I can't sleep because something's on my heart. I talk to them whenever I can, but you know what? It's our job, whether they're part of our church or denomination or part of our community, or somebody that's actually 15, 20 miles away that you've never met in your entire life. God gave you health. God gave you strength. It's time to reach out to those people and do something about it. That's what CDMH is trying to do when it can. I was in prison and came to visit me. Well, I haven't done that. I haven't gone to a prison, but I have to gone down to YFC, which is people that live on the street on a day-to-day basis. Part of the Steve Green concert that we're doing is we've given the talents of Steve Green by the compliments of CDMH to YSC down in London. They're going to have a concert event down there as well. And the purpose of that is to be able to help out people that are on the streets. And yes, I know there's people down on the streets that are there out of choice. There's people that are there down on the streets because they have no choice. There's people that are down on the streets because they simply don't have anywhere else to go. They have no family. They have nobody to touch. And so there's prisons inside that aren't necessarily walls. They're not necessarily bars. There's prisons inside where you just don't want to touch somebody, where you've created a wall or a bar or a nest in front of you, and you're not going to let anybody in to touch your heart. You got to go to the prisons. The prisons is going to the shut-ins, to the people that can't get out and do things. Basically summarizes it. Anytime you're doing anything for somebody that's walking down the street with that simple little smile. I had fun one day. I actually was in a Tim Hortons in a drive-thru, and I was frustrated because the guy in front of me, man, he must have had an order that was going to take care of half a school. And I sat there and I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited. And I got up to the thing and I ordered my coffee and my donut. And Gary's done it as well, another member of our CBMH group. And I paid for it. She said, "Oh, sir, I'm so sorry for the wait." And I said, "Well, you know, it would have been nice had he come into the walkout center rather than put through the drive-thru. But that's all right. I understand. He's got a busy day. And while you're at it, just pay for the guy behind me because he looks rather grumpy." And so I did that, and I drove away. Now, I can imagine if the guy in front of me had paid for mine just because I had to wait, I couldn't have understood. But honestly, I got through there really fast. And after that happened, after that moment happened, I never met this man. I never expect to see this man. Quite frankly, I didn't look at the license plate, and I don't know his car number. But I know that when he drove up and had his coffee and his whatever he paid for or got paid for, he probably sat back and said, "Do I know that guy? No. What's he want? What's he selling? When am I going to find him again?" You know what? God's like that. He's not asking anything in exchange except for love, and he's asking you to go out and share his love. We've got to follow that example that Jesus Christ has given us. So why partner with us? Well, there's 280,000 reasons. There's 283,000 pounds of food that were distributed in Huron County food banks, and it's thanks to your generosity and people like you that we were able to accomplish that, or that they were able to accomplish that. Their goals are climbing. Last year, there was over 18% more people using food banks across Canada than used it in 2009. And that need seems to be growing, and the recession isn't over. The recession's tough, and there's people that, if you can imagine, of the 1,200 people that are using the food banks, I'd be willing to say that there's likely another 800 or 900 people that would find it humiliating and are doing without and starving anyway. There's another bunch of people that can't make it to those food banks, that can't go pick up that food. Our needs are great, and we need to continue trying to get that out to people, because we're living in an amazing location. I don't know if any of you are farmers or have a farm background, but this past year, in Huron County, or this neck of the woods, yields were bumper yields. Average yields of 140, we're seeing 210. Soybeans that were averaging 42, we're seeing somewhere around 60 to 70. And there's starving people in our community. It's a shame. And so what CVMH is trying to do is it's trying to focus itself within Huron County. You can't forget your own backyard. I know that the problems that are happening in Japan are terrible. They're horrendous. And when we watch the things that happened in Haiti are awful. And the tribulation and the fights and the wars that are going on in Libya are also terrible. And we need to pray for that. We need to help them. And we need to do whatever we can in prayer. But at the same token, you can't neglect your own backyard. And that's what CVMH is about. It's taking after our own backyard. On July 7th, 2011, CVMH is sponsoring Steve Green to come to Clinton, Ontario. You know, I've got a lot of clients that hedge from Orangeville down to Sarnia, down to London, the whole nine yards. When I tell them that Steve Green is coming to Clinton, Ontario, I get this strange look on their face. Clinton? What? Kitchener? London? What? Clinton? Yeah, and it's going to be done in a horse stall, no less. We're actually hoping to have all of the churches join in on this with us. This is a day where we're going to celebrate in song and in music, and we want everybody to come. There's not going to be tickets for sale. There's not going to be anything that's going to guarantee you an entrance at that point in time, but we're asking for people to bring a bag of food, a donation, whatever. And 100% of those proceeds are all going to the food banks within Huron County. This concert obviously costs money, and the businesses in this neighborhood are contributing towards raising the funds to put this together. Expectations were seating for 2,500, but then I had a client last night that came from Jarvis, and he said, 2,500, what are you going to do? I said, what do you mean, what are you going to do? He says, well, what are you going to do with the surplus of people that are going to show up? And I'm going, hey, Lord, I guess that if I can open the doors on the one side and kind of, I don't know what we're going to do, but we'll see what happens. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see 7,500 people in Huron County praising God for one night? Just one night. As Christians united together in one night. Forget about denominations. Forget about Catholic, Pentecostal, Baptist, Christian Reform, the whole nine yards. Let's wash that away. Let's sing praises to God for God's greater glory for one night. And maybe we can stretch that into a second night another day. And maybe to a week, and maybe to a year, and maybe we can stand together as Christians and understand that God gave His Son, our everlasting Savior, to purchase our lives, to pay for the debts and the bad things we do. You know, I stand in front of you. I'm not a perfect guy. Quite frankly, when I look at my history and my life and where I've got to from this point on, and I take a look at the Bible and the characters that are within that Bible, we actually did this at CVMH, and we asked everybody to pick out a Bible character that they most resembled. Mine was the sinner on the cross, because I know that tomorrow there's going to be something in my life that isn't quite right with God. And that when I get home tomorrow night, I need to go onto my knees and I need to pray and I need to ask for forgiveness every day and every morning. Steve Reen, it's going to be a wonderful thing. It's going to be wonderful to see Christians unite together for one day. Why a concert? We're going back to all the talks that we just discussed. Some of the members that are in CDMH basically started their walk with God because of Christian music, because they listened to the words and it wasn't screaming and yelling and carrying on. Music seems to warm the savage beast, and I guess that's the place where we need to start. We need to build home, we need to build family, we need to build community, and we're going to do it through music. We'll issue tax receipts for anybody that makes donations if they'd like a tax receipt. That's the accounting side of me rather than the guy that's standing up doing a religious thing. We're asking church sponsors to donate $500, and if they want, they can have a booth. They get 20 preferred seating for a private meeting with our private meeting. Anybody that is in the preferred seating area at that point in time will be able to have about a half hour one-on-one with the artist and ask any questions that you'd like to. We're covering the costs of advertising and brochure and flyers to advertise who are our sponsors and who is bringing this to town. We're going to give recognition to our sponsors, probably through PowerPoint, if I can figure out how to work it out properly. And we have people that are more talented in that than I am. That's not one of my gifts. Again, that the small businesses will get a tax receipt that they can use for their tax deduction all the way through. You can partner, become a member with us if you like. We charge $300 an annual fee. Obviously, there's administrative costs all the way through that we have to do to get things done this past year. We've been kind of flying on the faith of God, and money's come in when we needed it, and it's been quite handily. Now we're starting to do that. We want to get a charitable organization number, and we want to make things happen. You can just be a private member, and that's only $100 a year. This past year we had, I think, 10 breakfast meetings, usually on Saturday mornings from about 7 o'clock till about 9:30. Sometimes we bring in speakers, sometimes it's just local testimonies and sharing. It's always good food, and anybody's welcome to attend. We pass the hat at the end of it to cover those costs. I got ahead of myself. Networking, which maybe I should scratch that one off after the... Actually, our vision of networking is a little different. There are businesses that are new, there's businesses that are old, there's businesses that have been around for a while, and every business has had its struggles out through the course of time, whether it's employee problems, whether it's government problems, whether it's financial issues. There's a greed side, there's a greed element, and the greed element is very simple, is that as a business, you can come to our businesses and open your heart, open your sharing, and other businesses will help you through your problems and trials and struggles. We're people that are wanting to be part of each other's lives on a day-to-day basis, and in doing that, also being part of God's kingdom building here in Huron County today. We have the marketing and advertising on our website, which I mentioned before, which is through the RBN network. I guess I don't have it. What we're trying to do is we're not trying to build God's kingdom all in one day, all of our, by ourselves, by one massive event that all of a sudden is going to be a running up to the stage and saying, I dedicate my life to God. We're trying to do it one soul at a time on a daily basis. We're trying to touch people's hearts every day. And that's right now, there's 35 businesses in that adventure, and we'd like to have 135 businesses in that adventure. There's more Christians in business than you'd like to believe. And we're all stewards of the assets that God owns. They're not ours. I'd like to thank you for the time that you've given me on this. I would encourage you, at least, please pray for our organization. Please help us out in that avenue. Help us find the problems that are within Huron County and the directions that God has desired for us. Help us get through the growing pains. We're an infant organization, and we're just starting, and we're going through our steps to get from here to there. I'd like to thank you for today's opportunity, inviting me to the church, And again, I apologize for not being more of a speaker type that gets up and does this kind of thing. Quite frankly, I'm the guy that sits behind the computer screen and just tells you what your tax burden is. That's it. Thank you very much. And if you'll pray with me for a minute, if we could. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for these people. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the heart and the soul and the mind that is within this church. Lord, we thank you for the many gifts you've given the people in this church and the businesses that surround it. Lord, we ask that you help us to touch the community and touch the people that are doing without and the people that just don't know your name yet or just are struggling with understanding what your name is. Lord, give us the guidance and the wisdom to be able to touch them in the way that they need to be touched. Not in the way that we think they should be touched, but in the will of what you perceive them to need. Lord, help this church grow, help it to become vibrant, help it to be something that the community reveres as being a walk with you. Help us be partners with these people in the adventures that they're about to partake on. Help them be the center of what you will for them on this earth. Give guidance and peace to those that are sick. Give guidance and peace to those that have suffered loss. Lord, be with those people that just don't know you yet and are just chomping at the bit to get the opportunity to be able to find you. All this we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen.